Nehemiah chapter 2. And it happened in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, when there was wine before him, that I took up the wine, and I gave it to the king. Now I'd never been sad in his presence. So the idea is that all the servants of the king had to all be very happy and all very positive and very polite and all everything's awesome and all that sort of thing. So Nehemiah is a Jew, but he's working there in Persia, and he's obviously quite high up in the court. And he says, I'd never been sad in the king's presence. It was his duty to give the king his wine. Now, the king's always scared that someone was going to poison them. So the person who gave him the cup had to drink a bit of it first. And if it was poison in it, then he'd be killed and the king wouldn't have to drink it. So the king said to me, why is your face looking so sad, seeing that you're not ill? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And I was very frightened, because the king could just say, ah, look, I don't like the way you look today, and cut his head off. So that's why Nehemiah was very scared. Well, the king had so much power, you see, and that's who these guys were. They were crazy on power. Oh, the guy who handed me my wine, he's not looking nice. He's looking a bit sad. He's supposed to have a more cheerful face. Well, cut his head off then. So Nehemiah says, I was very frightened. So I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, which is the place of my father's tombs, is lying waste and the gates are burnt with fire? The king said to me, so what are you asking for then? I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if I, your servant, have found grace in your eyes, please send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may build it. So I don't think he was actually planning to make this request. And when it says, well, I prayed to God, I guess that was just in 2 seconds or 1 second. The king says, well, what are you asking me for then? You're looking all sad. You obviously want something out of me. What do you want? And what did he pray to God? Well, we don't know, but I guess it was just, God, please help me. Something like that. Now, although God will accept quick prayers said like that, just in the heat of the moment, you mustn't think that that's all you have to do to pray. There's different kinds of prayer. We should pray seriously on our knees before God. We should pray when we wake up. We should pray before we go to sleep. We should think what we're going to pray for in advance. But there's also these kind of quick prayers. But we mustn't slip into the mentality that, oh yeah, I'll just do the quick prayers, that's all. Oh, God help me. That's not a very good prayer life. So he says, I pray to the God of heaven, and then I said to the king, if it pleases the king, please send me to Judah to build Jerusalem. And the king said to me, the queen sitting by him, for how long is your journey going to be, and when will you come back? Now, it says the queen was sitting next to him. Some people think that that queen was Esther. It's as if the queen and her presence was sort of an encouragement to the king, as if she sort of nudged him and said, go on, dear, you know, give the guy what he wants. He's a Jew. So if it wasn't Esther, it could well have been that this queen was a Jewess. And it just happened that it was all controlled by the hand of providence, by God's hand, that she happened to be next to the king when the king just happens to notice Nehemiah's sad face. You also see how Nehemiah was sad, not for himself actually, but for others. He wanted God's plan to go ahead. He wanted Jerusalem to be rebuilt and the prophecies of the restoration to come true, and that saddened him that things weren't going like that. And so it should be with us. That in a sense, although we are in one way joyful in Christ, in another sense, there is no joy for us until Jesus returns and the kingdom is re-established. So, it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time when I'd come back. And I said to the king, and if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors on the other side of the river Euphrates, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. And please give me a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, so that he can give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which is next to the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I will rebuild. And the king gave me all this, according to the good hand of my God upon me. So he feels very much this higher hand. And that's what you feel in life as well when you look back, that it's not just me and the decisions I made and the efforts I made. This is God's hand. There's like a higher hand, and that's the hand of God. If you think of why I'm where I am at this point in my life, wherever you are, well, that in the end is because God has moved you there. And yet he had the ambition, didn't he, to ask the king for these things. He could have just said, oh, sad? Oh, no, nothing. I've just got a bit of a cold. Or I'm fine. But no, he actually has the courage to ask for a huge favor from the king. So I came to the governors who were the other side of the river Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent with me captains of the army and horsemen. And when Sanballat and Tobiah the Ammonite heard about this, it grieved them. These were the people who were trying to stop Jerusalem being rebuilt. They were very, very upset that a man had come to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night with a few other men with me, but I didn't tell any man what God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. Neither was there any other animal with me apart from the animal that I was riding on. I went out by night by the valley gate, even toward the dragon's well, and to the dung gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down, and the gates which were burnt with fire. And I went on to the fountain gate, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the animal that was carrying me to pass by. Then I went up in that night by the brook, by the small river, and I viewed the wall from there, and I returned by the valley gate. And the rulers didn't know what I'd done. And I didn't at that time tell the Jews, nor the priests, nor the nobles, nor the rulers. So you see, Nehemiah was quite a lonely sort of guy. He went out for a walk at night. It must have been pretty spooky, walking around all those ruins at night. And yet, I guess he just wanted to see the work that needed to be done. He didn't want any fanfare. He didn't want to get everybody else involved at that point. He just wanted to go with God. And he says that God put this plan in my heart. So God can put ideas in your mind, because the heart in the Bible means the mind. God can put ideas in your mind. And this is, in a sense, how the Holy Spirit works, whereby God puts his spirit in our spirit. So, I then said to the rulers, you see the evil case that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, the gates are burnt with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem so that we are no longer a reproach. And I told them of the good hand of my God upon me, and also of the king's words that he'd spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. You often see this, that people might want to actually serve God, but they are lacking leadership. And so people have a potential to serve God, but they need someone like Nehemiah to stir them up. But when Sanballat and Tobiah the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian, these are the local people who were so opposed to the Jews, when they heard of it, they mocked us and said, what is this thing that you're doing? Are you going to rebel against the king? I replied, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But you don't have any right nor inheritance here in Jerusalem. Well, I think when they said to him, you're rebelling against the king, I'd have been inclined to pull the letter out and say, no, wrong. The king gave me authority to do this. He asked me to do it. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't make the obvious response. He says, our God will prosper us. Therefore, we're going to work, because God is behind this. So he saw that God being with you was far greater than having the letter from a king to tell you to do something.